Okay, good morning everybody. Shavua Tov, almost Chodesh Tov. Erevosh Chodesh, Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Sunday morning shiur with the Five Towns Farakwe Virtual Base Medrash. This is my last Sunday morning shiur through this platform. If you check the chat, you will see that Be'ezras Hashem, a new summer program is beginning. You're welcome to please look at the flyer of a wonderful program that is coming. This is my final shiur on this platform. So I have chosen to speak about something that I think speaks to all of us during this time. These past few months, we have witnessed confusing, difficult, painful, tragic circumstances. Let us not forget how many lives, Rahman al-Watslan, were lost at the height of the pandemic, around Purim and Pesach time, the terror we felt every day, the fear of the unknown, the general unrest, the situation today. Pirkei Avos tells us these summer months we are going through a perek a week. This coming Shabbos, we will recite Perek Dalet of Pirkei Avos, Shabbos afternoon after Mincha. And the Mishnah tells us in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yotes, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadenu lo mishalvas harishaim ve'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. Rabbi Yanai tells us, it is not in our hands the tranquility of the wicked, and also not the suffering of the righteous. The Lashon again of the Mishnah is, Ein biyadenu, it is not in our hands, lo mishalvas harishaim, neither the tranquility of the wicked, va'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim, and also not the suffering of the righteous. The Bar Tanura, famous commentator, a Tan commentator on the Mishnah, most famous for his commentary to Mishnah. So the Bar Tanura says, what does this mean? Ein ha-davar hazeh yadua lanu. The matter is not known to us. Madua derech rasha'im tzalecha. Why the way of the Rasha, why the way of the wicked people seems to be so successful, tzalecha, from the word hatzlacha. We cannot understand. It's ein yadua lanu. We don't understand. It's not known to us why the Rasha seems to be successful. And why the righteous seem to be beset by suffering. And when we look at our world today, you look at individual nisyonos that people are going through. This time has been very difficult for so many in terms of parnasa, terrible nisyonos in terms of parnasa that people face. So many people are waiting for Shidduchim. The list of Rifa'inu seems to grow every day. The matzav in Eretz Yisrael, the lack of security and ultimate shalom. And the Mishnah tells us that it's not something that it's in our hands. We cannot fathom. Ein ha-davar hazeh yadua lenu, says the Bar Tanur. The matter is not known to us why the Rishayim have so much hatzlacha and why the tzaddikim are beset by yisurin, beset by suffering. And I was thinking to myself that it's very interesting that the Mishnah uses the term ein biyadin. So it could just say, the Mishnah could just say, we don't understand why, Tzadik Viralo, Rasha Vitovo, we don't understand, we can't grasp, it doesn't make sense. What is this terminology? It is not in our hand, the tranquility of the wicked, nor the suffering of the righteous. And I think that the answer might be when something is in your hand. Okay, I have a watch here on the table with me so you could see that I'm holding my watch. When your watch is in your hand, you could feel it. So my watch is metal. It has links. I feel the dial on the side. If it's cold outside, the watch will be cold. If it's hot in the room, the metal might get warm. You can feel something. You can grasp it. When you can have something in your hand, you can understand what that thing is. And if something is not in your hand, someone could explain it to you from today until tomorrow, and you're still not going to get it. If it's something you don't have association with, if you can't grasp it, you're not going to understand. I'm actually going to quote from an interesting source that I think highlights this idea for us. I'm quoting from the biography of Helen Keller. Annie was puzzled. Helen was learning new words daily. But it did not seem if she was making the connection between word and object. Helen Keller, of course, was both blind and deaf. How do you teach a child who has no faculty of vision and no auditory stimulation how to hear, not how to hear, but any meaningful language at all? Two words in particular were a struggle for young Helen, mug, M-U-G, and milk. Annie, her teacher, knew Helen called Annie teacher her whole life. Annie knew that Helen was confusing these two words with the verb drink. So mug, milk, drink were all confusing for her. Whenever Helen spelled mug or milk into Annie's hand, she would mimic the act of drinking. So Helen, when she would want a drink, instead of spelling the word drink in Annie's hand, she would spell mug or milk. Annie, teacher, was getting frustrated. They had spent a month working together. But still, Helen hadn't figured things out. She didn't figure out that things and actions, nouns and verbs, were different. She had not yet attached meaning to words. Helen was frustrated too. She picked up the new doll and threw it to the ground. She could feel the fragments scatter. She knew it had been broken, but she did not feel badly for what she had done. Annie sighed, sweeping the broken pieces towards the fireplace hearth. Suddenly, Annie had an idea. Helen loved playing in the cool ground around the water pump. It was a beautiful morning, April 5th, 1887. Annie took Helen's hand and led her outside to the water pump. She showed Helen how to hold the mug under the water. Annie pumped the water into the mug and let the water spill over Helen's hand. Water, W-A-T-E-R, she spelled into Helen's palm. First slowly, then faster. In a second, Helen dropped the mug, and Annie saw that Helen's face brightened. Quickly, Annie did it again. W-A-T-E-R, she spelled into young Helen's hand. W-A-T-E-R, in an instant, Helen understood. Everything had a name. Each word belonged to one of the objects that Helen had known all her life. Now she could finally describe them through this hand spelling. The cold, wet something was W-A-T-E-R. Helen rushed around touching everything so Annie could tell her what that object was. Falling to the ground, she asked its name. D-I-R-T, spelled Annie. Then P-U-M-P. Then H-E-L-E-N. And finally, T-E-A-C-H-E-R, describing herself to her student. When they went back inside, Helen remembered the doll she broke. She realized what she had done. This had been a D-O-L-L. This was her doll. She felt her way to the fireplace hearth. With tears in her eyes, she tried to put the doll back together. When she couldn't, she felt something she never felt before, regret. Still, nothing could erase the happiness both Annie and Helen felt as they flitted around the house. Helen demanded to know what everything was. And Annie, teacher, was delighted to tell. Before the day was through, Helen had learned 30 new words. When Helen went to bed that evening, she was happier than ever before. She described this day later in her autobiography, The Story of My Life. For the first time, she wrote in her biography, after that day, I longed for a new day to come. What opened the world for Helen was the sensation of water in her hand and the spelling of the letter in her hand. And this made her grasp that language has meaning, that language has content, that words can be associated with an object or a verb. And it's an interesting source to quote during the duration of the shir, but I think it helps illustrate really perhaps what Chazal are teaching us. If something is in your hand, you chap, you get it, you can touch it. This is water. Water is wet. W-A-T-E-R. This is a doll. D-O-L-L. Till that monumentous moment, Helen never understood the connection between what was being spelled in her hand and the words and the language. But without speech, Rachmana Litzlan, and without hearing, Lo Aleinu, she was still able to learn language through something in her hand. Along comes the Mishnah and says, Ein biyadeinu. It is not in our hands. Lo mishalva sarishaim, lavlo miyasur hatzadikim. And when something is not in your hand, it is completely beyond our grasp. It's something we absolutely cannot understand. And so the Mishnah does not just say we don't understand. And the Mishnah does not just say it's beyond our comprehension. The Mishnah specifically tells you it's not in your hands, says Rabbi Yonai, which means we cannot possibly fathom the connection between the suffering of the righteous and the tranquility and the success of the Rasha'im. The Navi tells us in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Parak Beis. Sefer Shmuel begins with Chana's quest to have a child. And we know that ultimately she does have a child. And that child is Shmuel HaNavi. Okay? And after she has this child, she gives thanks to Hashem in what is famously known as Tfilas Chana. You know that much of the structure of the Sayyid Amida is based on Chana's tefillas before she had the child. Eli thinks she's a shikora, but no, she is davening. And she gives thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam after Shmuel is born of so many years of infertility. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vatit pala chana vetomer, chana davin, and she said, Alatz libi b'Hashem, rama karni b'Hashem. My heart exults in God. My horn has been lifted to God. Rachav pi al oivai. My mouth is widened over my enemies. Ki samachti b'Yeshuasecha. I rejoice in your salvation, Hashem. Ein kadosh kaHashem, there is no one as holy like God. Ki ein bo techa, there is no one like you. The ein tsur ke Elokeinu, and there is no rock. Tsur is a rock. There's no rock like Hashem. But Rashi says ein tsur ke Elokeinu, and Rashi on this pasuk, it's Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis Pasuk Beis. Rashi says ein tsayar ke Elokeinu, there is no artist like Hashem. So tsur can be read as tsayar. Tsur is a rock. Tsayar is an artist. And Rashi says you shouldn't read it tsur. You should read it tsayar. There's no artist like Hashem. Hatsar tsura betoch tsura, who fashions a form inside another form. Rashi is actually quoting the Gemara. Rashi is quoting the Gemara. Maseches Brachos Yod Amar Aleph. So the Gemara tells us there. Okay. So Rashi on Tfilas Chana, when Chana says ein tsur ke Elokeinu, there's no rock like Hashem. In her praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rashi comments and says, don't read it, there's no rock like Hashem, but read it, there's no artist, sayar like Hashem. And Rashi is quoting Maseches Brachos Yud Amrav. So the Gemara says there, I'm going to Maseches Brachos now. The Gemara says, Ba'u re'ei, shelo k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. Come and observe. The nature, the midah, the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty One, blessed be He, is not like the way of a midah of basar v'dam, a person of flesh and blood. Midas basar v'dam, a person, a human being, someone of flesh and blood. Tsar tsura al gabe hakosel, he shapes a form, he draws a picture, he makes a sculpture on the wall. Ve'eno yachal lahatil bo ruach u'neshama kravayim uvnei ma'ayim, and the human being, the basar v'dam, is not able to cast into that tsur, into that shape that he just fashioned on the wall. He can't put into it ruach, breath, neshama, a soul, kravayim, innards uvnei ma'ayim, and intestines. When a human being fashions a sculpture, so it's a sculpture, I'm going to make a picture on the wall, it's a picture on the wall, and you can't breathe life form into that sculpture about Kosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. But the Almighty, the Holy One, blessed be He, is not so. Tsar tsura betoch tsura. Hashem is not like a regular artist. He fashions a form within a form. In other words, He fashions a child within a mother. Umatu baruach, so He fashions the mother. That's His first fashioning. And then within that sculpture, within that beauty and grandeur of a human being, He fashions another being. Umatu baruach, unushama, kravai, mumneim ayam, and He puts in to the fetus a spirit and breath and innards and intestines. V'hainu da'amrachana, and this is what Chana said, ein kadosh kashem, there's no one as holy as God. Ki ein bel tacha, there's no one like you. The ein sur kalokeinu, so the Gemara here, after telling you that Hashem fashions a form inside a form, inside a sculpture, if you will, the sculpture being the mother, the human being, He fashions another form inside of that form. Not like a basar v'dam. I make a sculpture, it's a sculpture. I painted a picture, it's a picture. That's it. It is what it is. It's one dimensional. Not so the Ribbono Shel Olam, as Chana said, ein tsur ke Elokeinu, there's no rock like Hashem. Ma'i ein tsur ke Elokeinu. The Gemara says, what does that mean? There's no rock like Hashem. Ein tsayar ke Elokeinu. So it's the Gemara that Rashi to say for Shmuel is quoting, there is no fashioner, there is no shaper, there is no artist like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So ein tsayar ke Elokeinu, because Hashem is so different than every other fashioner, artist, sculptor, former. I make a one-dimensional structure. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes a human being, and inside that human being, He's able to put another human being. And this was the praise that Chana gave to the Ribbono Shel Olam when she had her son Shmuel. I heard Rabbi Zev Leff, I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Zev Leff the other week, and I heard him give an explanation as to what it means, ein tsayar ke Elokeinu. There is no fashioner, there is no artist like the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it relates to the topic of today's shiur, which is our inability to understand, or our inability to grasp. Feel in our hand, think back to the excerpt from the biography I read you of Helen Keller on how her teacher Annie taught her. It was only through what she felt in her hand. She wasn't able to see. Imagine without vision. And imagine, Chalila V'chas, without hearing, how a person can actually learn about this whole world. Helen became very famous. She was a lecturer. She traveled. It's unbelievable. All through feeling the water rushing over her hand, she made the connection. She was able to grasp that words have meaning and connection to objects in this world. But if it's not in your hand, It means I have no way to associate what's going on. It's not in our hand. Rabbi Zavlov says, what does it mean, Ein Tzayar Ke Elokeinu? There is no fashioner or artist or sculptor like Hashem. Rabbi Zavlov explains as follows. He says, let's say you go to a kindergarten child and you ask that child to draw a person. Give the child a paper and a pencil and you ask them to draw a person. So the child sits down, the pen and the pencil on the paper, and he draws a stick for the body and two sticks for the legs. Two sticks for the arms. He makes a circle for the head at the top of the long middle stick. He puts two dots for the eyes. He puts a smiley face. And he tells you, here is the person. It takes 5 minutes for him to draw, maybe 5 minutes. And the whole time he's drawing, you know exactly what he's drawing and exactly what's going to come next. You could predict that he's going to do a stick down the middle. I'm not talking about the child who's the Ilui and the artist from birth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a regular kid in kindergarten. You know he's going to make a middle stick and he's going to make two side sticks. He's going to make two arm sticks. You know it's going to take 5 minutes later. He has a person and you know the teacher writes on the bottom of the page, this is mommy, this is daddy. The kid brings it home and he gives you the picture and you hang it up on your fridge and he says, this is my family, all these stick figures, the whole drawing took a few minutes. You could predict what he was going to draw. Then, as Rabbi Zev left, imagine you go to Rembrandt. Go to Rembrandt. You say to Rembrandt, can I watch you draw a painting? Draw a person. So Rembrandt says, you can watch me draw my painting if you want to see me draw a person, but you have to have a seat. It's going to take a few years. You have to be very patient. You might not understand what you're seeing. He invites you to sit down, so you sit down to watch the master artist paint a painting. And you see some splotches, a dab of red, a splash of black, some blue, a streak here, a streak there, a glob there. You think he's painting a person? His painting doesn't make any sense. This is a master artist. He looks like a crazy person. And you wait, and weeks, and months, and he says, I'm not finished. It takes a long time to create a masterpiece. And the whole time he's painting, you don't understand what he's painting. Rabbi Zavlov says, "Lahavda of Alfei Havdalos, Ein Sayar Ke Elokeinu. There's no rock like Hashem. A rock denotes strength, permanence. You find shelter in the shade of a rock. But read it, Ein Sayar Ke Elokeinu. There's no artist like Hashem." So sure, if you sit down and you ask a child to paint a man, to make a picture, to draw a person, so they make a stick figure and you can predict exactly what it's going to draw. But go ask the greatest artist who ever lived. You have to have a seat. You have to be patient. It's going to take time. And you don't understand what they're drawing. But how could I expect to understand the artistry of a master artist? It doesn't make sense to me. I see splotches. I see dabs, I see globs, I see streaks. This is an artist, this is a painting. Because from my narrow frame of vision, I can't see the whole picture. Only the artist with the wide scope of vision sees the beginning, the middle, the process, and the end. But my vantage point, my point of view, what do I see? Some splotches, some bangs, I'm here. I don't have the patience to sit around the whole time. I'm not there for the whole painting anyway. So Rabbi Zavlev says that's what it means. Ein Sayar Ke Elokeinu. Says everything is good from the vantage point of Hashem, but we can't understand everything that happens here. And when we look around today, people are suffering. People have nisyonos personally. The list of cholim does not get smaller, Rachman al-Tzan. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. People waiting for Shaduchim are waiting and davening. I saw an article last week that they interviewed a number of tour guides and hotel owners and bus drivers and restaurant owners in Eretz Yisrael. The tourist industry, they said, is completely decimated. They interviewed people who said it's a complete catastrophe. Our Yidinu Abunef is zero parnasa overnight. We are all collectively... If a person doesn't feel this, then I don't know. Maybe their head's in the sand. We have to be no seba olim chaveiro. We all have our own challenges. And when we look around at Knesset Yisrael, we see that there's pain. Ein biyadeinu. Mo mishalvas harasha'im. Af miyisurei hatzadikim. We're not Helen Keller, Baruch Hashem, with any And we're not zocha to have the cold water splash overhead and to have that moment of crystal clarity where the whole world makes sense, because only from the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the artist of all artists, does all 6,000 years of our history since Bryas HaOlam make sense. But me, I'm here for a brief clip of time. I can't sit and wait for Rembrandt to finish his painting. I should sit in a chair for 5 years. I have to eat, I have to go to work, I have to go out, I have to exercise, I have to do this, I have to cook. I can't sit here, thank you very much. So all you see is a few blotches, you think, to understand the painting of Hashem. Why did Chan have to wait so many years for a child? And Penina had one after another. Ein tzur kelokeinu, says the Gemara, ein sayar kelokeinu. And it's something that gives me chazak. And perhaps this final shir series, this final shir in this series, I thank each of you for joining me, taking time every Sunday morning to learn Torah. Thank Rav Schachter and Ezra Robertson for putting this together, inviting me to be part of this series. I think that after all these months of learning together, I need the chizuk, and perhaps you also need the chizuk. And in this world, we can't grasp in our hand what this means. The Gemara tells us, I think it's fitting to end this series by learning from Rabbi Akiva, because most of our Sunday Shi'ur have focused on lessons from Rabbi Akiva. And so I think it's fitting for us to end the way we began. The past 2 weeks, actually, we focused on Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph. Now we're going back, one daf, to Maseches Brachos Samech. Okay, so I'm in Maseches Brachos Samech Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva taught in a Braisa, La'ola mihe Adam Ragil Lomar. A person should always be ragil, accustomed to saying, called the Avid Rachmana Latav Avid. Everything that the Rachmana, the merciful one, does, Latav Avid, he does for the good, from the word Tov, it's Aramaic. Called the Avid Rachmana, everything that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the merciful one, does, Latav Avid, he does for the good. And the Gemara tells us the following Maisa regarding Rabbi Akiva. Ki had Rabbi Akiva dahava ka'azil be'orcha. Like that incident involving Rabbi Akiva. Klein Tarim, if you remember all those weeks ago, we began by talking about the story of Rabbi Akiva. It was the time of Sfira Sa'omer, and that's why I decided to choose it. And let's end with this final vignette. He was traveling along the road. We are all traveling along the road of life. We're traveling along the road to reach the Olam Ha'emes. Rabbi Akiva was traveling along the road. And like we know, when we travel along the road, sometimes things make sense. Like when you watch a child draw a stick figure, you know exactly what they're going to draw. And sometimes things don't make sense. Like when you say to Rembrandt, can I watch you paint? And he says, you want to sit down for 10 years till I finish? I can't sit here for 10 years. I have things to do. He says, and you're not going to understand my painting. One time, Rabbi Akiva was traveling on the road. Matala hahi masa. He reached a certain city. Ba'a ushpiza. We welcome the ushpizin into our sukkah. Ba'a ushpiza lo yahavele. He requested lodging in a certain city. And nobody would welcome him. We welcome the ushpizin to come to our sukkah. No one would welcome him in. He couldn't get lodging. So a person could be very frustrated. You're taking a road trip and you come to, you know, the motel on the side of the road and you need somewhere to sleep and you can't drive anymore and you're totally exhausted and you request lodging and every hotel says July 4th weekend, not in the corona pandemic. Didn't you think that you had to book the hotel, the Red Roof Inn, before you got here? We don't have any rooms available. Everyone's traveling around the country. And I would be frustrated and I would be aggravated. Hashem, seriously, you couldn't make one room for me? You can do anything you want. You make Niagara Falls, which I'm on the way to. This is totally fictitious, by the way. I'm not on my way to Niagara Falls next week. And you couldn't make a room for me in the Red Roof Inn. You do everything you want. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Amar called the Avad Rachman Litav. Rabbi Akiva said, okay, no problem. Whatever Hashem does, Litav, it's for the good. It's okay. Azal Uvas Bedavra, he went. And what did he do? He slept in the field. Vahava Bahade Tarnagola. The Chamara Ushraga. He had with him on his journey three items. One of them was a tarnagol, he had a rooster. One of them was a chamor, he had a donkey. And one of them was a lamp. Rashi says on the Gemara, why did he have a tarnagola? Why did he have a rooster? Lahakitzo mishneso. It was his alarm clock. That's Rashi in the Gemara. Lahakitzo mishneso. How's he going to wake up from his sleep in time for Kriya Shema? Rabbi Seinu Giyazman Kriya Shema Shoshachris. How's he going to wake up? He has a tarnagol to tell him it's time to wake up. Okay? Not so bad, I could sleep in the forest. Asa zika kechave lishraga. Would you believe it? The wind came and blew out the lamp. Now Rabbi is in the pitch black and the forest can't see a thing. You hear a rustling. What's there? Is it a squirrel? Is it a rat? Is it a bandit? I can't believe it. God, you couldn't leave my candle lit. You created vahi or vahi boker. You created or v'choshach. My little candle, you couldn't leave lit. No problem. Asa shunra. Sounds like Chad Gadya. Achleila, the Tarnagola, a cat came and ate the rooster. All he has left is the donkey for traveling. Asa Arye, Achle the Chamar, would you believe it? A lion came and ate the donkey. He's left with nothing, couldn't find lodging, doesn't have a lamp, he doesn't have a rooster, doesn't have a donkey. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? Micha Horowitz would say, what am I going to do? And this is terrible, and I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm so stressed out, and I don't have anything left, and I can't believe it, God, and what are you doing to me? I thought I'd daven this morning, I had kavana, this is how you pay me back. Amar called the Abad Rahman Latav, Rabbi Akiva said, okay, whatever Hashem does, whatever the merciful one does, it's for the good. Be'i leila asa giyasa, shavei lamasa. Would you believe it? That very night, an army came and captured the city. An army came to the city where Rabbi Akiva tried to get lodging. The army captured the city. Had Rabbi Akiva been in the city, what would have happened? He too would surely have been captured. So the fact that he couldn't get lodging at the Red Roof Inn on the New York State Thruway on your way to Niagara Falls, which looked so bad at the time. Baruch Hashem. What do you say now? Wow, thank you Hashem. Amr lohu lav. He said to those who were accompanying him, Amre, did I not tell you? Komash asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, HaKol LaTova, it's all for the good. Rashi on the Gemara says, HaKol LaTova. Ilu haya ner daluk. What do you mean HaKol LaTova? Not only that I didn't get lodging. Ilu haya ner daluk. If the candle would have been lit. Haya hagayis ro'eusi. The army would have seen me. The ilu haya chamar no'er. If the donkey would have brayed. Oh, Hatarnagol Korei. Or the rooster would have cocked. Haya hagayis ba. V'shuva osi. They would have, the bandits, the army, the bad guys would have come and they would have taken me shvuyim, shvula, vishuva osi, like pigeon shvuyim. They would have taken me captive. So Rabbi Akiva says, if the candle would have been lit, it would have given away my hiding place. People would have seen, you know, wait, there's some light in the forest. There must be someone there because usually there's nothing in the forest late at night. The bandits would have seen me. And they would have killed me. And the tarnagol that I took along to wake me up in the morning, says Rashi, it would have cocked. And what would have happened? Why do I hear something? The tarnagol, someone unmuted. I just want a couple minutes to please finish. The tarnagol would have made noise. And they would have seen me. And the chamor would have brayed. So the lion that seemed so bad that ate my chamor saved my life. And the wind, the ruach that blew out my candle that seemed such a crisis, saved my life. And the cat that ate the tarnagol saved my life. So Rabbi Akiva said to those who were traveling with him, did I not tell you, Komash Osa Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaKol LaTova? Did I not tell you that everything the Almighty does is for the good? Sometimes, like Rabbi Akiva, we get to see the end of the story. We understand how it's good. Sometimes, like watching Rembrandt paint a painting, we're not around long enough to see how it's good. From the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam, called the Avad Rachman Latav Avid, says Rabbi Akiva, we began our series with Rabbi Akiva, we spent a lot of the series with Rabbi Akiva, and we're ending with Rabbi Akiva. A person must become accustomed, we have to train ourselves. I'm not talking to you. It's an avoda of a lifetime. I'm not talking to you. Pang to Michal Horowitz. A person has to become accustomed to saying that all the nisyonos we suffer, and I know we all feel pain, not only for your individual nisyonos, whatever they may be, I hope you don't have any, but when you see your fellow Jews suffering, when 30% of restaurants in Eretz Yisrael cannot even reopen, when the tour guides say it's a catastrophe, we feel pain. We're certainly no se ba'olim chaveiro. A person must be accustomed to saying, called the Avad Rachmana, did I not tell you so, Rabbi Akiva? Everything is for the good because Ein Tzur Ke'elokeinu Seschana, Ein Sayar. to Elokeinu. There's no artist like the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we are not privy to having the reality and the truism of this world in our hand. That's for the next world. That's not for this world. And this world, with our Amuna, we understand everything serves a purpose. But in this brief span that we spend on the road, Akiva is journeying, Rabbi Akiva journeying on the road, we're often not privy to the answers. But we believe, ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, which is called the Avid Rachmana, the Tav Avid. I thank you profusely for taking the time to learn with me this summer, this series, this spring series. I hope everybody took home some concrete chizuk in a positive way. Thank you for taking the time to learn the Torah, should bring schusim that we shared to our communities, to ourselves, to our families. I thank Rav Schechter very, very much for including me in this and for bringing this chosim to our community. I wish you all Shavua Tov and a Chodesh Tov Meretz Hashem. Thank you so much.